May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1084. Ah, wretched, vile, ungrateful heart, that can from Jesus thus depart, thus fond of trifles vainly rove, forgetful of a Saviour's love. Hymn 1084.
Let us read together from God's holy word, the 12th chapter, the Epistle to the Hebrews. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word and teach us each how to pray. Great and almighty Lord God, we come before thee this evening hour. We plead, Lord, that thou wilt be one in our midst. O Lord, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And Lord, may it be so, that we may know and feel that he went in to tarry with them. So, Lord, we pray that thou wilt, in love and mercy, be one in our midst this night. Thou hast promised in thy words, where two or three gather together in my name, there will I be in the midst. And Lord, we ask great things, Lord. We ask that thou wilt be in our midst, amidst this company of poor sinners here, gathered round thy word this evening. Lord, we pray that there may be those here that have come seeking a view of thee, a glimpse of thy dear face by faith. There may be those here that have come with their burdens, their sins, their troubles and their trials. May they feel that underneath are the everlasting arms. May the gospel bear their spirits up, we pray. O Lord, do meet with cases this evening. Lord, touch hearts, we pray. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless us with thy presence. We meet round thy word. We seek to worship thee. May our worship be acceptable in thy sight, we pray, through our dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Do sprinkle our worship and our prayers And the words we speak with that precious blood, cleanse us from all sin and uncleanness, we pray. And Lord, as we seek to worship thee, may it be that in love and mercy there may be blessings coming down, descending from heaven on high to our hearts this evening. And may those who have come hungry and thirsty, may they not go empty away. Lord, we ask for thy help. We pray, Lord, as we read thy word and speak in thy name, that thou wilt touch my lips with a coal from off that holy altar. O Lord, may my tongue be set at liberty. Lord, pour into this poor sinner, that he may be able to pour out to thy people. O Lord, we do pray for this group gathered here together. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us into thy house this evening. We thank thee, Lord, that there is that desire to be here. Lord, we pray that if there's those here that are just out of duty or formality or habit, we do pray, Lord, that they may see an attraction in thy holy gospel. May they see no man save Jesus only. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may come and enlighten and enliven our hearts. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with each here. Thou knowest the various cases before thee. Lord, we pray that they may be enabled to cast all their care upon thee, for thou carest for us. O Lord, thou art that friend of sinners. Lord, thou didst come to this earth to suffer, bleed and die, not for the righteous, but for sinners. And Lord, we can all creep in there this evening. We're guilty, worthless sinners. May we feel it. Lord, reveal our true state and condition before thee. And Lord, as we approach unto a holy God, it is he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Do, Lord, open wide thy gospel door. May each be enabled to approach unto thee through the dear Saviour, through that dear precious blood. May there be access to the throne of grace. Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear and answer our poor prayers. Thou knowest, Lord, our battles we each have with Satan and the world. Lord, we would not sin if we could. Lord, our sins weigh heavily upon us. But Lord, we are weak and feeble. Lord, we need thy help. Descend upon us, we pray. Grant us thy help. We pray, Lord, as we look around at our poor world we live in, how far we have come away from thy word. In our land and country, how far we have departed from thy truths. O Lord, there is but a remnant, we believe, remaining in this land. Lord, thou canst do all things. Nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, revive the work in the midst of the years, we do pray. O Lord, not for our sake, but for thy great name's sake. O Lord, we see the outward attacks on all things Christian, the spirit of Antichrist running amok in our country, as we fear persecution, as there is persecution in other parts of the world, and as we see it creeping in to our own country, Lord, thou art mindful of us. Lord, we pray, turn us again once more. Turn this country upside down, we pray. May the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of those in high places, those wrong laws overturned, the proposed changes to our marriage. We pray, Lord, that these things may be overturned. But Lord, thou art in control. Thou art the Lord God omnipotent reigning. And we pray, Lord, that we may be helped to face whatever we need to face. May we be able to stand firm. O Lord, as we think of standing firm and not denying our Lord and Saviour, Lord, we fear that the test. We are weak sinners. We fear that we should bring reproach on thy name. We fear to be ashamed of thee. But Lord, thou canst keep us. It's looking up to thee, Lord, we pray. Grant us the eye of faith. Increase our faith, we pray. May the love of Christ be dwelling in our hearts by faith. Lord, drive out Satan from our breast. We painfully feel how we are so easily turned aside by the things of this earth. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt set our affections on things above. So we bring before thee this cause of truth. We thank thee, Lord, for sparing it here. We pray, Lord, that it may continue for many years. We pray that there may be many sinners constrained by thy love, by thy grace, to come and fill this place. May there be those sinners who come and tell what a dear Saviour they have found. May we be granted these blessings, we pray. May there be that turning again in our midst. We pray, Lord, that the neighbourhood in this area, that they may be constrained to come and fill this place once more. As we think back to former years, how our chapels now seem so empty compared to those years. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt work again in Britain. So Lord, we bring before thee the young people, those children in the Sunday school, the teenagers and those parents, Lord, bringing up young children. O Lord, there's much to distress, but may we each be found looking up unto thee. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bear them up as they bear the heat and burden of the day. As we send our children out into this wicked world, keep them as the apple of thine eye, we pray. Cover them with the shadow of thy wings. And Lord, we pray for those who may have left, the prodigals, Lord. We pray that the words that they've heard in the past may be used to bring them back. O Lord, we pray, do revive that seed sown in their youth. May that bread that was cast upon the waters be found after many days. So, Lord, we pray. We ask great things. We ask things that we know we do not deserve answers to. Lord, we feel the poverty of our prayers, the poverty of our poor attempts at our worship of thee, the sin mixed with all we do. But thou art a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt cleanse our poor prayers, make them acceptable to the Father, and send answers down for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 747. How hard and rugged is the way to some poor pilgrim's feet. In all they do or think or say, they opposition meet. Hymn 747.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's help, I would ask you to turn with me to the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. You find the words in verse 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This morning we venture to speak on how great an almighty God we have, and that there's nothing too hard for him. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And we spoke quite a lot about providential matters, but tonight I feel led to speak more on spiritual matters. You see, that question, is there anything too hard for me? Maybe you feel your case is too hard. Maybe you feel your sins are too great. Maybe you have in your past things that make you mourn. Things that you know you did and you shouldn't have done. And maybe you feel that they could never have been committed by someone who could possibly be one of the Lord's people. Maybe you feel that the Lord could never love someone as sinful as you, bearing in mind what you have committed. But the Lord is merciful and gracious. And the Lord speaks, as in our text this morning, and speaks to that poor sinner who, feeling that great weight and burden of his sin, is there anything too hard for me? Satan will tell you that there is. Satan will tell you that there's no possible way that you could be found amongst the people of God. But Satan also knows that the Lord God is almighty, and he is trying to distract you and prevent you from coming to his feet. He's trying to stop you from pleading the blood of Jesus. Satan will never lead you to the foot of the cross. But the Holy Spirit will. If you are drawn to the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit's work in your heart, it will draw you to the foot of the cross. And it's there, by faith, that we can see the antidote of sin and death. It's that great work that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary, the great work of that spotless life lived for his people. And that great and wonderful sacrifice, he laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. He laid it down. And it was then taken again. He took his life again and rose from the dead and then ascended to be with his Father. That complete work of salvation, the love of God the Father to poor sinners who were dead in trespasses and sins. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate, his loving kindness, oh how great. It's great. He's a great and almighty God. And it may be our concern this evening as we look deeper into these two verses that we may either feel it already or the Holy Spirit will give us that desire. See, the desire to be found one of the Lord's people, it doesn't come from us. Our default position is at enmity with God. We are sinners. We're desperately wicked. Our hearts are desperately wicked. And we cannot begin to think or bring a right thought toward the great God of heaven. We cannot bring one godly, gracious desire of ourselves. It's all of grace. It's all in love and mercy. And it's not for everyone. You see, there's millions in this world, in our country, who these things, they pass them by. What a mercy that we are each here tonight. You see, there's plenty in Swavesey tonight that aren't here. The Lord in his sovereign plan, his sovereign will has a people. And may it be our desire to be found one of them. A living stone in Salem streets above. We don't want to be anything, but we want to be something. Sammy Medley says, to be something and yet nothing there. We want to be found amongst those who are the called. And it's our text this evening starts, and I will give them one heart. Them. Are you one of them? Am I one of them? One heart. One desire. One desire in your life. One thing is needful, friends. One thing is needful. We are here below, living our short lives for one thing. It's the preparation for eternity. One thing is needful. And I will give them one heart. You see, the Lord's people will feel that love, that flowing together. There will be a oneness between the people, the Lord's people. You'll see an attraction in the people of God. Now, you might not be able to claim much tonight, friends, but maybe you can look back, like I can, in my past, and I used to look on the people of God and think they were a strange bunch of people, a strange group. But then there's a change. There's a small change, but there's a change. Suddenly you see an attraction. Those people that you once viewed as being a bit strange, suddenly there's an attraction there. You feel that drawing to them. Not that they can do anything for you, but they're going, they know something that you don't. They might be downtrodden, they might be humble, but they've got something that you haven't. They've got happiness. They might not always show it, but they know where they're going. They have that peace. You see, there's lots of things to bring happiness, temporary happiness here below. That's not true happiness. True happiness is found in the Holy Word of God. True happiness is to that believer who knows and feels forgiveness of sin. That believer who can, like the hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's happiness. That's we can manage things below with the Lord's help. We can endure crosses and losses with the Lord's help. We can be despised and endure persecution, as we have recorded in the 11th chapter of the Hebrews. That great cloud of witnesses, they endured persecution, great trials of faith, but they were pressing toward the mark. They had a hope. They had by faith, they saw their sins removed by the blood of Jesus. They viewed the sacrifice, the lamb slain. They viewed it as blood shed, sin put away, purged. They looked by faith forward to Calvary, to the Messiah, the promised Messiah. There was that promise, that expectation. And we look back by faith. This evening we look back by faith to Calvary. May the Lord grant us that faith to look back and see our sins cleansed. This is what will take this stony heart and turn it into a heart of flesh. Maybe you feel your heart tonight. Maybe you've had a taste of that love of Christ dwelling in your heart. But Satan has come. The cares of this life, the thorns, they tangle in with all the words that you hear from the pulpit. They meddle with your mind as you read the Bible, as you try and pray. You might be in the midst of prayer and a thought comes in and it's from Satan, and you feel the sinfulness of your heart. You can't muster anything, a deadness. It's like the seed. You know it's the gospel. You're reading the word of God. You know it's the word of God, but it's bouncing off your hard heart. It used to sink in. It used to remain. The things you heard on the Sunday, they used to remain with you during the week, but you can barely remember them on the way home from chapel. That hardness. Satan is so subtle. They say a good soldier knows his enemy. We need to know our enemy, friends. There's not the same outward persecution yet. But Satan has brought an apathy amongst the people of God. There's the right, using right things, our work. Our lives have never been busier. We have mobile phones, we have the internet, we have cars. Life has never been at such a fast pace. But is it bringing you closer to the Lord? Is it bringing us more? Is it giving us more time to read the Bible? Do we read our emails before we read the Bible? Do we take a daily newspaper and read that rather than read the Bible? In our precious time that is so precious, do we fill it with what you'd say is lawful things? Nothing really wrong with him, but are we going to know him more by reading the Daily Telegraph, or are we going to know him more by reading the Word of God? Are our hearts being hardened and we've not seen it? But the Lord is merciful, and the Lord loves his people with an unchanging love. And your hard heart, the Lord knows how to soften it. And he can soften it. And maybe there's those here who feel that they can't pray. They can't pray for great things like their soul. Maybe they feel, would the Lord hear my prayer? See, friends, someone said to me once, I prayed a small prayer, and the Lord heard my small prayer, but I don't think he'll hear. I try and pray for my soul, but I don't think he'll hear me. But I said, hang on, a small prayer. What was that small prayer? And she said, I lost my car keys. And she said, I couldn't find them anywhere. And I prayed this small prayer. And I said, no, you mean a short prayer. I said, you can't mean to say that's a small prayer, it's a short prayer. She prayed, Lord, help me find my keys. And I said, and what happened? She said, I turned around and found them, almost straight away. She'd been looking for quite a while. And I said, you call that a small prayer? See, I call that a great prayer. I call that, really, it's unbelievable, really, when you really think about what had just taken place to that poor lady. Her eyes were blind to the fact that it was such an amazing answer to prayer. I mean, what honour and glory had come from to the Lord from her, his answering her prayer. She hadn't stood up in front of the Lord's people and confessed and told them, "The Lord, help me find my keys." There was no, I hope she thanked him. I hope we all thank the Lord for answering our prayers. But there was only her in that room. And yet the Lord, in love and mercy, had heard her poor prayer. And it was to bring no honour and glory to his name from her. And yet he had heard and answered it. And you think, well, why? I mean, you try phoning Buckingham Palace next time you lose your keys and ask, "Could I ask the Queen a question?" You wouldn't even be able to get put through to her. She certainly wouldn't be interested in finding your keys for you. And yet, she had just troubled an almighty and eternal Lord God in heaven, who created all things, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and in an instant, he had granted her that wonderful answer. He didn't say no. He didn't reject her. And that to me is a great prayer. It's short. It's short prayer in length. But what a wonderful prayer. The Lord answers the short prayers so wonderfully. See, the Lord knows everything that we need. The Lord knows what we need before we even know. And so when we pray to the Lord, those short prayers, don't you find they have some wonderful answers? I mean, we only have to think of the publican. You see, the Pharisee was making that long prayer. But we read that he was praying with himself. You see, he was praying with himself, and he was looking around at everyone else and commending himself and how good he was, and he was thanking the Lord that he wasn't as bad as everyone else. And what a long prayer it was. It must have sounded wonderful to him. But he was praying thus with himself. Although he addressed the start of his prayer, God was not listening, friends. And he pleaded and confessed his own good works. But then we read of that publican standing afar off, out of earshot, didn't want anyone to really hear his prayer, wasn't bragging. He spoke this wonderful short prayer: "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That prayer, friends, has everything in it. God, he knew who he was praying to, a great and almighty Lord God. He knew that God could answer the prayers of his poor people. He knew he didn't deserve it. We all pray and we all feel, surely, that we don't deserve answers. But he still prayed. prayed, God, be merciful. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God was merciful to his people. He knew there was mercy to be found. He probably knew the law of Moses. That law and that condemnation. If one sin is committed, thou shalt surely die. But he knew that God was also merciful. And he pleaded with God, God, be merciful to me. He was personal. You see, it wasn't to me and my wife, or it wasn't to me and my children. His one desire, as he looked at his sinful state and condition, his past offences, he could see how sinful he appeared before the mighty God. He could see that vast gulf. He could see that gulf between a pure and holy God in heaven and a worthless sinner. And he knew that one sin was enough to send him to hell. One unpardoned, one uncleansed sin was enough. And he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew it, friends, and that's what we need to know. If we don't know already, we need the Lord to grant us that spirit of confession. True repentance, it comes from God. We cannot generate repentance, true repentance. Other brands of Christianity will tell you that confess your sin, repent. But we can't. We can't stop ourselves sinning. The more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. You see, we try and make ourselves better. We try and we fail. It's only the Lord who can grant us true repentance. Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. Lord, I cannot plead another good work. I can't plead any in the past, but I certainly can't plead that I will be a good man or a good woman or a good boy or a good girl. I can't promise. I dare not promise. I can't fulfill that promise. But I know I'm a sinner. And I know I don't deserve the least of all thy mercies. But Lord, may there be room for me. May that precious blood that was shed at Calvary wash away my sin. It's God be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, that Pharisee, he had a hard heart. He had a hard heart. And he didn't know it. He didn't know he was a sinner. He thought he was good. He was relying on his own works. It was duty faith. It was what I've done. It was do this, do that. But friends, it's done. It's done. It's done something that we can't ever do. It's done by the Lord Jesus. It's through his spotless life. It's only through that spotless life that we have a hope of reaching heaven. If we are found amongst his people, it's only as we stand before Almighty God at the judgment day, when all of us here who profess the Lord's name, when we reach heaven that is when we attain. We have not attained anything here below. We haven't proved yet that we haven't made shipwreck. You see, Paul hadn't attained, and he knew it. He hadn't attained until that final test of faith, when each one of us here will face an almighty God. And those who are found numbered amongst the Lord's people, those who have a soft heart, those who have the love of Christ dwelling in them, those the Lord's people, they have a promise. There's a promise in the Word of God for those people, despite their sin. You see, it's if any man sin, if any, not any man, it can't be any man, it can't be Judas Iscariot, it can't be those millions unconcerned, but if any man, if any sinner hoping, believing and trusting, depending entirely upon the Lord Jesus for their salvation, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's one of the glorious offices of the Lord Jesus Christ that he performs for his people, separate to the glorious office of an intercessor, the high priest. The Lord's people prove the Lord Jesus Christ to be a faithful, great high priest, making intercession as we confess and bring our prayers and our fears and our cries before an almighty God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is that wonderful intercessor who is, if you like, the ladder, Jacob's ladder, between a sinner on earth and a great God in heaven. The access to the throne of grace. But the advocate, friends, is no one here has proved the advocate yet. The advocate, Jesus Christ, our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, is the office of our defender as we stand before the judgment seat of an almighty God. And when that sinner is brought, that poor trembling child of God is brought, has passed through the valley of the shadow of death, has passed through the waters of death, and is into that timeless state of eternity, is brought before an almighty God, Satan will be there. Zechariah's prophecy prophesies and shows a vision of Joshua standing before the judgment seat of an almighty God. And as we stand before an almighty God, Satan, as he is here below, will be on our shoulder. He will be there with us. And he will be testifying against us. And he will be a very accomplished prosecutor. He will have a mountain of evidence against us. And he'll have a mountain of evidence against that poor child of God of the sins that they've committed since making an open profession of the Lord's name. Not just all those that were in their past, but he'll have that mountain of evidence, and he knows he just needs one sin to drag that poor sinner with him to hell. One unpardoned sin is enough to do it, friends. But, and there's a but here, but that sinner has an advocate with the Father. At that moment, The Lord Jesus Christ steps forward in that court as the lawyer, as the advocate for the defence of that poor sinner. He's mine. What do we read in Zechariah's prophecy? Satan is standing there and he's accusing and assailing, and we read the Lord speaks, silences Satan once and for all. He says, is not this? The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And we read here that's the Lord performing his office as advocate. We read no more of Satan, no more assails. Those sins, that mass of evidence, gone, you see, it's washed away. Why? Because that sinner is found in him. He is safe in his Lord Jesus. You see, his name is written on the breast of the Lord Jesus. The hymn writer says, I read my name upon his breast and see the Father smile. The Father smiling at his Son as he steps forward and claims, he's mine, she's mine. Satan, is not this a brand that I plucked from the fire? From you? Yes. Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. You see, the advocate steps forward and claims that poor trembling sinner as his. And what a mercy that is. Satan's never won a case against Jesus Christ, the advocate. You see, his qualification in a pure and holy law, in front of a pure and holy God, in that pure and holy court, meeting the demands of a pure and holy law, what's his qualification as advocate? He stands there, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's his qualification. Lawyers in our courts have qualifications. They couldn't stand up and say they're righteous. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ can stand in the court of an almighty God and be claimed and called Jesus Christ the righteous. And friends, that should be our desire. That is the moment that all of our lives are heading towards. That is the moment when our religion, our faith, is put to the final test. We have these hard hearts, but we need stripping. We're sinners. We need stripping of everything that is not of the Lord. It's painful work. You see, we might feel we have a form of religion. We might feel that we know him. But do we know him enough? Paul, at the end of his journey, at the end of his writing the epistle to the Philippians, he writes, that I may know him. You say, Paul, that I may know him? He wasn't writing it before he set on his road, on his journey to Damascus, that I may know him. He wasn't writing as he waited to have his eyes opened after he was blinded in a way, after meeting with the Lord Jesus. he wrote this at the end of his life, that I may know him. He wasn't happy with his level of knowledge of him. He felt his own hardness in his heart. In the epistle to the Romans, he says, "The good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, I do. O wretched man that I am." He wasn't satisfied with what he had. He was pressing toward that mark. He was running his race. He was looking unto Jesus, as we read in our readings this evening. He was looking unto Jesus. And so he wanted to know him more. He wanted to leave aside all these weights and the sins that were dragging him down. He was pressing toward that mark. And it's the only way that we can go forward. It's leaning on him. You see, maybe there's some of you here tonight that you're leaning partly on him. But we need to be stripped. We have our hearts are dead. We have this stony heart. We want it to be made flesh, made soft. We want stripping of everything that's not of the Lord Jesus. We want to know nothing of men, know nothing among men, save the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. If you have a prop in your life and you're one of the Lord's people, he will take it away. He will, because he knows when you're leaning fully on him. He knows when your hope is only on him. When you have nothing in yourself, you have no good works to plead. When you're praying and seeking his face in full dependence, knowing you're a sinner, it's convince us of our sins, then lead to Jesus' blood. It's to be shown the depravity of our own standing in the light of a holy Lord God and that vast eternity. We need to know these things. We need to know ourselves. We need to know the enemy. But we need to know him. See, it's that I may know him and be found in him. Being found in him, that will give you a soft heart. Might not be soft for the rest of your life, but it can be softened. It may go a little bit hard, but if by faith we can view him whom we've pierced, the blood of Jesus softens. That softens the heart. That brings us back. That brings the backsliding sinner back. David backslid, didn't he? He had a soft heart when he was young, didn't he? When he went to fight Goliath, he was trusting in the Lord fully, leaning on him. He had a soft heart. But the world, that hardened it. Sin crept in. And before he knew it, see, Satan finds mischief for idle hands to do. He shouldn't have been where he was. He should have been out fighting. He should have been away. He shouldn't have been at home. But he fell into temptation. And he knew it. He knew his heart was hard. He prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, Renew a right spirit within me. And that's what we need. We need to be kept soft, made soft. Some of you here that maybe are unconcerned, may the Lord grant you that concern. Where am I heading? See, we think we're all going to get home safely tonight. We think we know what we're going to be doing tomorrow. But we don't. How can you live like that? Not knowing where you're going. Not knowing if you're one of the Lord's. I mean, friends, these are solemn things. But the Lord will give his people that one heart, that soft heart. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. He has that ability. There's nothing. We spoke this morning. There isn't anything too hard for the Lord. There's not a case that's too hard for the Lord. Mary Magdalene, you would think that was a case too hard for the Lord, would you? She wasn't too hard for the Lord. She had a soft heart, didn't she? She had great love to the Lord. Her faith might not have been as great as her love, but she had a love to the Lord. She knew where her hope was. So we have here, that they may walk in my statutes. It will make us walk in his statutes and keep my ordinances. You say, well, what ordinances are these? The ordinance of believers' baptism? That will, a soft heart, the Holy Spirit working in you, you will walk that pathway of believers' baptism. You won't be ashamed of your Jesus. It's my Jesus has done all things well. He plucked me as a brand from hell. My Jesus has done all things well. That sinner, that child of God who is trusting the Lord Jesus for their salvation, who is depending on that advocate with the Father, we don't want him to be ashamed of us then, do we? When we're standing before an almighty God, heaven and hell, don't we want the Lord to step forward? Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? He's mine, she's mine. See this love of Christ dwelling in our hearts. You say, well, how? I couldn't do that. Couldn't you? The love of Christ constraineth us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Who is sufficient for these things? My grace is sufficient for thee. All sufficient is our Saviour. But I'm weak. I'm a weak sinner. How can I go on in a pathway? I might be young. I'm 40 or 50 years ahead of me. Once I make shipwreck, I'm weak. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Friends, your weakness is not a barrier. You're the perfect showcase for the power of an almighty God. You're the, if you want for a better word, the perfect display cabinet for that greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come to save the righteous. Sinners, Jesus came to call. And the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. It's a commandment. Should you be there? If your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, friends, you should be round the Lord's table. It's an office for sinners. It's not for those who are perfect. It's an office for sinners. It's an ordinance for sinners. It's an ordinance for sinners who know him as their saviour, who have proved him, whose only hope is in him, who, leaning on him, that's their only way to go. Those sinners who, as the hymn says, their only cry they can muster, like that poor publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Their only plea is, remember me, Lord, like the dying thief, remember me with the favour thou bearest to thy people, O visit me with thy salvation. Temptations sore struck my way, and ills I cannot flee. O give me strength, Lord, as my day, for good remember me. The hour is near, consigned to death, I own the just decree. Saviour, with my last parting breath, I'll cry, remember me. You see, we say, who are these? Who are these that I will give them? Who are those them? Who are they? We have it wonderfully revealed to us in the book of the Revelation. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. May it be, in his great mercy, that we each here tonight are found, and those who we would want to be here, those who we feel are so far off, those impossible things, those who we feel are too hard a case, those with those hearts that we feel are too hard, may it be that I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, his people, and I will be their God. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £780, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day, and there will be a meeting of the cemetery trustees tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 741. I no more at Mary wonder, dropping tears upon the grave, earnest asking all around her, where is he that died to save? Hymn 741.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.